Hi, and welcome along to Early Excellence's Head to Head podcast. It's great to have you here. I'm Sarah Carey, School Improvement Lead here at Early Excellence, and in these podcasts, I'll be connecting with real head teachers and school leaders. We'll be discussing hot topics in primary and early years education and sharing some real experiences. So keep listening to hear more about school inspections and impactful school improvement strategies. Hello everybody, it is July right now and we are in the middle of yet another heat wave and the end of term is in sight, but I know when this podcast drops actually it will be towards the end of the summer, so I guess for all the listeners out there I should really say I hope you've had a lovely summer break. I hope you're feeling rested and energised, ready for the new term, and are looking forward to lots and lots of new things. So today in this episode I'm really delighted to be welcoming back a head-to-head podcast guest who joined me very early on in our podcast days and talked about things that they were doing around self-regulation and zones of regulation. And we're back now to talk about assessment and some things around XREC as well. So I'm delighted to welcome back Emma Duran from Whitefield Primary School in Liverpool. Hi, Emma. How are you?
Hi, Sarah. Yes, I'm very good. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for making the time to come back and talk to me again. And we were just laughing, saying this time you're going solo with it, because last time it was yourself and Marie on the session, and today it's just you and I. But I know we've got lots to dig into, so I appreciate you making the time, particularly at such a busy time of the year. Now, I guess I should say some people may have heard you already join us on the podcast. They might know a little bit about you or your school, and some people might also have met you at our early years conference when you did one of our workshops. But for anybody listening, or to refresh them, it'd be really good just to hear a little bit about you and of course about the wonderful school that you work at, just the context around those, just so that we can kind of hit the groove before we join the rest of the conversation.
Yeah, so my name's Emma Doran, as you've said, and I'm the early years lead at Whitefield Primary School. Our school is very inner city in Liverpool. We have quite a challenging demographic, and I've been here 7 years. In my previous role, I was a children's centre teacher and also worked in a primary school leading early years in Senko. But I've been here at Whitefield leading EYFS for 7 years. We're a 1.5 entry school, and our EYFS is a base, so we have nursery and reception up to 78 children across the base.
Wow, that's a lot of children, and I bet you're feeling it on a very hot and sticky day like today. There'll be lots of hot children in there, won't there?
Absolutely.
And we were just chatting as well, obviously you've got, as many schools have across the country, you've got quite a high level of need, haven't you, within your early years base. But we were just chatting before we hit record about how that's managed, your children in your early years, those with need. Actually, they're kind of very much part of day-to-day, aren't they? It's very inclusive in terms of your nursery and reception.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have high levels and numbers of SEN children and EHCP children who come with quite significant needs and need a lot of that support. But we are all together within the base, and we make sure our curriculum is providing what everybody needs and is matched and right for everybody. So we don't have a separate resource base or anything like that. We are all in together, making sure that everybody feels included and belongs within our EYFS.
Yeah. Nice. I think that's just good, you know, good contextual information to have. And of course, you mentioned you kind of inner city. So in terms of deprivation and pupil premium, those sorts of things, can you give us a flavour of that?
Yeah, so we have high levels of pupil premium. And I think we are in that kind of bottom 1% of the country where, you know, there's high poverty levels and real challenges for our families economically. Yeah. Socially, so we are in that kind of very inner city area.
Yeah. So lots happening for your children, I think it would be fair to say. Not necessarily experience rich, quite a high level of need. And actually for you as a team, you're quite an established team, aren't you, in your early years. And as you say, nursery and reception staff working together, all of the children are there. So lots of routines and things that are really well established and working well, I think it would be fair to say.
Yeah, I think as a group, you know, they're very highly skilled and really understand the children. And our children come in often with a real experience, you know, deprivation of those real kind of rich experiences. And it is one of our things that we really look at and feel it's really important to provide those things for our children. And also communication and language is often children starting at really low points, and social and emotional development. Children come in typically very low in those areas.
Yeah. I think that really helps to kind of set the scene. And I know for you at your school, you're always striving to kind of achieve the very best and do things that you feel are right for the children. And it's going to have really significant impacts. And of course, it matters for all children, but given the context that you've just described, almost more so, I guess. So kind of this time last year, maybe a little bit earlier, you were starting to kind of rethink your approach to assessment in the early years. That was something that you were kind of looking at kind of developing and maybe strengthening. So I guess before we dig into the journey that you've been on and the work that you've done around the XREC tool and how you've used that, it would be good to just hear about why you were rethinking assessment, why you kind of placed a focus on that, what was or wasn't working in terms of the practices that you had at that time.
Yeah, so I think we, you know, with the new framework and the element of moving away from tick sheets and lists and things that took those practitioners and teachers away from the children. We wanted to move away from all of that. We wanted something that really looked at the whole child and was quite holistic and not something just academic based, where it was the children can or can't do these set things. We wanted to really look at the children's engagement. We wanted to look at how children felt within the setting. We wanted to look at our environment, and we really wanted something in place so that we could really target children. And so our planning and the things that we were doing day to day were really targeted based on the data that we already had, in terms of something that would provide us with enough data and enough depth to then target our planning and really look at the whole child rather than he can or can't do these things.
And I think, you know, it's very much about, you know, principled early years assessment is, you know, are we looking at a true reflection of what the child can do, and it is the information that we're getting meaningful and usable. And sometimes, you know, in my work and some of my colleagues at Early Excellence, when we're kind of engaging with schools around assessment and talking about data, sometimes the so what are we doing about that? Well, you know, we've got this picture of information. What are we doing with that? Well, how are we using it to inform practice and provision and curriculum? Sometimes that's not always as sharply thought about as it perhaps needs to be. And I think from what you're saying, you know, that was very much on your radar in terms of practice, but you really wanted to hone that so that you could be really making the difference for your children. So I would imagine, as part of kind of wanting to go on that journey, you probably did some research around what's out there, because there are various things out there available kind of for early years assessment, and of course you came across XREC. So again, just be good to hear kind of what you did explore, and then actually why you decided that XREC was a tool for you and your school and your children and team.
Yeah, I think what we found with the other toolkits and assessment programs that we found, where it was a very much they can or can't do this, there wasn't much about the underpinning principles. There wasn't necessarily included in the characteristics of learning. It was very much around moving children towards GLD, but I felt a lot of things that we looked at were not understanding necessarily that to put all of the academic stuff on top, like your phonics and your reading and your writing, well then actually the children needed really strong foundations in social emotional development. They needed those real characteristics of learning. So when we found XREC and we had a really good look, and I think it was yourself, we had a Zoom to kind of go through that. It was really refreshing to hear that this toolkit had the Leuven scales in, it had the characteristics of learning, the children's term of birth was taken into account, and that was all recorded as well. We particularly liked when we looked at XREC that actually all of your assessment is done through playing with the children, being in provision, having that those rich engagements and knowing your children really well. And actually the completion of the, I suppose, the paperwork bit happens after that and away from that. You know, that's not taking you away from the children. And I think for us, the paperwork side of things, we did together as a group. And so that really felt really valuable, that we were able to have that staff meeting time where we chatted through all of those children and we talked as a team about them, and almost the, you know, the toolkit gave us that springboard to do that and really made that concrete for us.
Yeah, and you know, from our point of view, that's really pleasing to hear, because what we were being asked a lot really around kind of assessment, particularly around baseline when XREC was first born, if you like. It came from lots and lots of schools asking us about baseline, because of course many years ago we were one of the validated schemes for baseline back in the day, so people were kind of coming and asking for that advice. And for us, we really wanted to develop a tool that was very much principled, very much was about that whole child and putting the spotlight on the right things. And that's not to say we shouldn't be looking at academic things, absolutely we should, but for that academic achievement to be kind of prevalent, actually we know well-being, involvement, characteristics of prime areas are just as important, so we need to be kind of spotlighting those first and thinking about where the children are in their journey of that. So that was important to us, but we also wanted to kind of remove barriers so that the assessments processes wasn't onerous and didn't feel like it was adding to workload. And of course, crucially, that it wasn't taking adults away from children, because those important interactions are vital, particularly for those most vulnerable children. And we were really keen for it to kind of really facilitate professional discussion, because again, that is about that principled approach. So it's really good to hear kind of even early on in this discussion that things that we were hoping it would achieve actually for you and your school, it kind of sounds like it has. Now, I guess actually you've just touched on this a little bit in terms of that team discussion, but obviously taking on a new, I suppose anything really, if you're taking on a new scheme or a new process or a new tool, obviously there is a kind of an initial rollout, isn't there, in terms of getting to grips with it, in terms of you as a leader understanding it so that you can support your colleagues in the early years team, but also then rolling it out with the colleagues, but also with the children. So how did that feel? Because of course you started it with XREC baseline and you'd got new children coming through the door, as it were. So it's all kind of back to back, isn't it? We've got the RBA that we have to do statutorily. So how did you kind of tackle getting it initially rolled out? What helped? How did staff engage with the process, and how did it feel, I guess?
Yeah, so as the lead, I did the training video first, just kind of ironed out all the, you know, which pages we were turning to for which bit and all kinds of the logistical things that could make it easier then for us to do as a team. And got my head round the toolkit and where everything was. And then we rolled it out and we had specific staff meeting time to be able to do that, because I think that's really important to not try and do that on the hoof and have kinds of fragmented conversations here and there. Yeah. I think it was really important for us to do the training together. So I did it first and then I did it with the whole team. So I was still there with them, you know, making that training. And then we kind of got our heads around it together. So having that specific time was really, really important. And I think me doing that initial training to iron out all of like the small things, really, the quite insignificant things, but actually it was really much better when you could go straight to the page you needed when you were sharing the training with the team. We just made sure that time was protected for our staff meeting time. And I think as soon as the team began to look at that and discuss, they quickly saw the real value we were going to get out of it. And, you know, everybody was on board really quickly. I think as new children started, because we did it straight away within that year, new starters, as you say, you've got your baseline to do also. I suppose this just felt really meaningful and purposeful. So you know, people don't really mind doing that when things feel purposeful. And actually what we were getting out of that and the conversations we were having were really impacting on our first weeks of planning and what we were providing in provision and children that we were targeting. So almost immediately we were able to target quite quickly and children to you know, really hone that in, and especially around the engagement, especially around children's ability to have that confidence to engage with lots of different things because they're obviously new. And it really helped us look at which are the children who are really struggling with that engagement and which are the children who just maybe are observers a little bit and need more time and they're new to the setting. So it just really gave us that platform to have all those discussions. And obviously as across a team, because we are a really big EYFS, some staff see things you don't see. So, you know, people are outdoors, and then sometimes children come alive outdoors and you see things that they would never do indoors, and they begin to show skills that you've not seen. Yeah. So I think to have those discussions meant that I think we all learned lots about all of the children from each other. So we found it really manageable and really worthwhile.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I think, you know, it's almost like a top tip, I suppose, that, you know, whenever you're rolling out a development journey, as a leader, kind of digging into it first, of course, is really important. And I think from an XREC point of view, there's things that you just may want to make sure you've got your heads around in terms of particularly the age and stage. So children's developmental ages versus that typical line in the sand. That's often kind of things that you perhaps want to discuss in more detail. So you need to have your head around that first. And similarly with some of the milestone statements being kind of separated into a more granular level. For us, we know it's really important at the start of an academic year that you have time with the children to start to build those authentic relationships and to kind of get to know those children and what they're interested in and what they're expert in and what they're wobbly with. And of course, this tool, and you kind of already alluded to it, allows you, if you've spent that time familiarising yourself with the milestone statements, it's really not about following children around and ticking things off. It's absolutely being immersed with them in those first few weeks in the provision, doing all of those important things about routines and introductions and engaging, and then kind of stepping back and making those judgments. And great, I think, as well, because having had those team meetings, it helps you to kind of know the things that you're looking for and the things that you're placing value on first, because of course we talk, and I know you kind of know this as a very experienced leader, actually those levels of well-being and involvement precursor everything else. So that's where the lens goes first, and you can kind of have those conversations. So I think it kind of just pulls through or reiterates that best practice and supports best practice rather than actually being another layer of, oh, now we've got to do this and we've got to sit and, you know, pull the children to us and do X, Y, and Z. It's really, really not about that. So I think it's really interesting to hear, obviously, you've talked already about kind of professional discussions and reflections about children. But in terms of that initial data that you collected, I suppose, from the baseline, what did that give you in terms of a picture? When you think, obviously, we have to statutorily do the RBA, which isn't really to inform practice and provision at that point in the year. That's very much about kind of end of year six information and the progress that the children have made. So in terms of, a purer data point of view, what sorts of things did it tell you that perhaps your previous system didn't? Which bits were most valuable? Was it those well-being involvement? Was it the characteristics? What did you kind of hone into?
Yeah, so I think the characteristics of learning were really key, because, you know, if children are not confident to engage in that play, not confident with new things, not connecting ideas, then it's really hard to then put all of the other stuff on top if those foundations are not in place. So it allowed us to really target children in those kinds of what you would ordinarily do in terms of communication and language. It helped us to target children in the confidence to be in the setting and engage with the things that we have. And because we had that awareness we were able to kind of gently coax children. We were able to do a lot more of the modelling that you wouldn't necessarily with, you know, your ordinary data. You wouldn't have that depth of knowledge. So, and especially across the team consistently. So it allowed us to really hone in and have those really quality interactions with children, do lots of modelling, you know, problem solving, having a go attitudes. I think it really helped us to hone in on lots of the attitudes and characteristics of learning, which would then support children. And I don't feel like there was any slippage time. So maybe in the past, there's, without something concrete to gather that all together, there feels a little bit of slippage time in that September, October. I feel like straight away we were all really, really keyed into who needs what. I think the birth, the terms of birth was really, really, really valuable. I think when we looked at our data, we realised we had a lot of summer-born children, a lot of summer-born boys. And then when we actually looked at the stages, some of our children who you would have expected as an autumn birthday to be doing better were actually on track, but not necessarily really secure. And then we had some July birthdays that were not on track, but actually we were not too concerned about that because they were nearly there. And actually some of the children that we were concerned about, because of the birth date, it really honed in that kind of understanding of, well, actually some of these children are nearly a year older than somebody who's sitting next to them. Yeah. And, they've been on the planet a year longer and had all of those experiences for an extra year. And it allowed us to really target in on those children too. So having those birth terms of birth so clearly on that one sheet where you can really hone in on that, and all your information is there together on that one sheet. And we then used that as a spreadsheet and transferred that over. So the whole class was there on the sheet and you could really see, visually, where those children were that needed that support and
Yeah, and I know kind of having spoken to kind of other members of the Xrec family, that term of birth is something that not a lot of other assessment systems do. And what you're talking about is kind of summer-born children who are not where they need to be as a typical child at a typical stage of development at a point in the year, but actually developmentally they are where they need to be, so that's okay. Whereas some of those autumn-borns who, as you say, have had a year longer on this planet, actually hitting that typical stage for a typical child, but given that they've had a whole extra year of experience developmentally, they should be further on, and actually some of those children aren't there. And I think that what I'm hearing a lot through my conversations and discussions like this is it's really made us look at particularly those autumn born children in a different way, and we'd have perhaps missed those in our previous system and immediately started focusing on our summer born children when actually we're not as worried about them at this moment in time. So again, that I can just kind of add your thoughts to kind of that bigger round of feedback that we've kind of had. I think in terms of using that data, it's always about the so what and using that data intelligently. And I think from what you're describing, you're analysing that, discussing it, and then taking action. And it sounds like a lot of your approach, rightly so, is through adult interaction, through modelling of vocabulary and language, and through that support around those kind of characteristics. Is there anything else that you kind of feel that you've kind of perhaps put in place, maybe refinements actually in the provision, or maybe any tweaks to the curriculum, just because it's not about overhauling your curriculum, it's just about adjusting it to meet where your children are at that point.
So I think what we also found with the data was there were some patterns in that data. So lots of children who came into reception that year had quite poor fine motor control. Obviously our phonic scheme starts 2 weeks in and expects the children to, you know, be developing that pencil grip, and we actually thought, well, yes, that still has to happen. But actually in provision, when you look at that pattern of how many children are really struggling with that, then we need all of that ribbon dancing. We need all of those big shoulder movements. We need to go back and provide lots and lots in provision where, you know, they're painting, standing up with the big easel. They're having those opportunities to really develop their muscle in their shoulders, the muscles in the wrists, before actually we then put a pencil in their hand. So it really did highlight some patterns where we thought, oh gosh, all of these children, regardless of the term of birth and et cetera, are really struggling with that fine motor. And so we need to go back. So we did spot some patterns as well. It allowed us to see some patterns in the same way in the vocabulary and the communication and language. You know, we knew that we would have to really, really hone in on that and tier all the language that we were going to use with the children. We made sure children were bumping into words constantly that were planned and purposeful through our key texts. So I think a lot of those patterns that came through from the data allowed us to change provision as a whole and make tweaks to provision as a whole, because those experiences then, you know, we really honed in on what experiences are we offering because of this pattern that we have.
And again, that makes sense, doesn't it? And it's not unfamiliar to kind of look at things at a class level, group level, individual level in terms of strengths, and then also in terms of areas to develop, and then what would be the priorities within those. And of course, prime would always kind of trump specific, if that makes sense. But it's so important to kind of see those patterns and then respond to it. It's that response, isn't it, that's kind of key. And it's not just about individual next steps. It is about that provision and curriculum, because if your curriculum is well designed and is meeting the children where they are, actually then it should take them through the journey and help them to enable to continue to make progress, which helps you as a staff team to then be able to have the confidence that many of your children will make the progress that they need to make through the curriculum, and you can then spend your time working with those that need you most, focusing on the things that children need most as well. It's going to make their onward journey kind of helpful. That's also really good to hear. So, I mean, obviously, I know you've got a really experienced team, but it's XREC is kind of underpinned by child development, and it has lots of prompts within it around professional discussion, moderation, reflecting on provision and curriculum and those sorts of things. So do you feel it's kind of brought any kind of addition, has it strengthened anything for your adults, if that makes sense, in terms of their knowledge or their understanding of either assessment or child development or other things? Has it helped that professional development side of things?
Yeah, definitely. As we've had the conversations, you know, it's that springboard to have the conversations and bring things in that, you know, also as more experienced staff and less experienced staff, you know, you can model and have those conversations. I think for us, as you've said earlier, sometimes people think they're doing the data for me. So this data is for you as the lead. This is something you need. And so it's made sure that really clear message for all staff. You know, we have some staff who are, you know, not been teaching very long. They're very skilled and, you know, they're brilliant. But data is something that you learn, isn't it, as you go through, and actually what is this data for, and how to analyse data is something that you learn as you teach. So it was great to be able to sit with the staff, and actually their responsibility over the data analysis was very much on them. So I facilitated that.
Yeah.
But actually it was around them saying, as you say, so what? So if we've seen this pattern, so what? If we've seen this child is really struggling in this area, what is next for that child? What is next for this group of children? So I think it gave a really clear message that data isn't something you need to present to me as the lead. Actually, data is something that's analysed and used to then target to get the best outcomes for our children.
Absolutely. And actually that kind of leads, I suppose, quite nicely into kind of leadership. So from your point of view, with your early years leadership hat on, has it helped you in terms of, again, talking about that baseline in particular, where either you as a leader and what you're reflecting on for your team, or the conversations that then you've had to have with other colleagues, other school leaders, maybe subject leaders, SENCOs, those sorts of things. Has it helped you in your role?
Yeah, I think because we did this for the whole year and we did it at each stage, so we didn't just do the baseline, we bought into the other stages, and we've done that across the year. I felt like our GLD decisions around children achieving or not achieving GLD were really, really secure. We moderate with our deputy head and head teacher, the EYFS team, the lead, and we facilitate that. And I feel like during that meeting, it was much clearer this year, and I felt staff were more knowledgeable in their discussions around why children have achieved GLD and why they have not. I think because of that kind of across the year, having that modelled, having those interactions, having those discussions as staff, I feel like when it was time to have those moderating meetings for GLD, our staff are really confident to say if they had achieved that or not and why. They were not needing to look necessarily at each kind of individual outcome. They were very, very confident by using the ages and stages in terms of our XREC across the year. They were very confident and felt really confident in their decision of whether that child was expected or not. I think that then helped because that meeting is then really succinct, and there's not those big discussions really because they'd already kind of been had across the year.
Yes.
And it just felt very much more streamlined, that meeting that we always have, and we moderate and we make sure our outcomes and decisions are really secure and robust. It was much more streamlined, and I definitely saw a difference in the staff's confidence to be able to discuss those GLD targets.
I think actually what you kind of hit the nail on the head there in terms of, because it's a tool that can be consistently used. So you've done the baseline, then you chose to invest in beyond baseline for use in February, and then supporting transition to year one, which kind of complements and supplements the EYFS profile, because of course that's statutory, but our D statements represent those EYFS expected too. But for your staff, they're talking from the same kind of information point, aren't they? They're using the same reference points, so actually it's familiar, it's consistent, and it's building that picture and that continuity for the children. So we're not dipping from kind of one sort of tool and then talking about something different in something else and something different at the end of the year. Actually, it offers that continuity and constant. So I think that's really powerful for, you know, people who have chosen to invest in the suite. It gives the same, you're having the same talking points and you're talking the same language throughout the year, which probably has kind of really helped. And it's quite, to your point earlier, it's quite accessible, particularly the milestone statements, they're quite accessible on that kind of double page spread to kind of really look at and get to grips with. And I suppose as well, for you as leaders, for yourself and your school leaders, I would hope, although I'm not fishing for compliments, but I would hope that because of the depth of information you can kind of glean around term of birth and start points, and then of course looking, if you've invested in the whole suite, at those end points at supporting transition to year one, you can have a really kind of comprehensive narrative around where your children start, where they get to at points in the year, but particularly that end of year and progress from start points. I think what we've heard from other schools using the tool is that it's really helped to make that very clear and have some real confidence around articulating that to the people that they perhaps need to talk about that to.
Yeah, it felt very streamlined. As you say, it wasn't lots of different tools, lots of different things, all kind of coming together. It felt very streamlined. And I think for us, it definitely, I felt our data was a lot more robust, and I was really confident in the end judgment that we got. And I think because of the initial assessments that we did in autumn with no slippage time, you know, that real targeted provision, targeted interventions, and also, you know, those interactions that we knew individual children needed, Our GLD is the best we've ever had this year. So it's the highest we've ever had. And I do think part of that is to do with that real robust assessment that has gone through the year and developed staff understanding of data and how we use that. And also, you know, that targeted approach really early on, so that we're targeting children really early on and giving them exactly what they need to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's not the tool that's raised the GLD. It's how it's the tool is the vehicle actually that's given you the information, given you the springboard into the discussions and really helped you to focus on which children need what and why, but absolutely. Also to kind of adjust and reflect and adapt teaching and curriculum to even better meet the next steps needs of those children. But it's also possibly given your staff even more clarity on the direction of travel and what we're aiming for, because obviously there's more information within the tool than within, if you like, just the early learning goals. So that granular detail kind of adds flesh to the bones. So it's that kind of driving force, isn't it? So yeah, really, really delighted to kind of hear about the impact of that and actually the confidence you've got in that data. And it's interesting, yesterday I was doing a training session for a trust who have invested in the suite, and I actually was working with the year one receiving team, and they were sat with the supporting transition to year one data set that they just provided, and we're really engaging with how that represents kind of the EYFS profile, but is giving much more information, and the conversations about what that then meant for how they were going to start the autumn term was really exciting, actually. To there was lots of year one staff in the room who kind of said, oh, I know what GLD is, and you know what it's important if the children haven't got GLD that I need to be unpicking X, Y, and Z and looking at the prime areas. But by having the XREC handbook, it really helped them to crystallize it in much more detail and understand where they were going next and what they should or shouldn't be worried about. It brought a much greater meaning to the data. So actually that intelligent use of the data and so what in that instance for that trust is very much then going to kind of have significant impact for those children and those staff as they start year one. And of course that starting year one, that transition to year one is so important, isn't it, to get right.
Yeah, and to have that holistic look of the child mm-hmm. rather mm-hmm. than that kind of staff GLD data where it is expected or not expected.
Yes.
To have that holistic look and that holistic picture of the child again as they move through into key stage one, there's going to be that being able to be targeted immediately rather than wasting time. It's going to be very specific.
And I think it's interesting. So again, going back to the session that I was delivering yesterday, I kind of started with, for you as a year one receiving teacher, what is it important for you to know? And there was lots of conversation around, you know, we want to know about the context of the child. We want to know how they are as learners, what they're interested in, how they approach things. And of course, all of that is well-being and involvement and characteristics of effective learning, which on a profile, GLD or not GLD, you don't get a huge you don't get that information. So the first conversation was around what do you want to know, what's important to you, and the next conversation was, and what do you actually get and how is that presented? And of course what they were actually getting wasn't necessarily all of the information that they perhaps wanted. It was definitely an interesting session to kind of deliver, and really pleasing to see in that instance that the supporting transition to year one tool, whilst it is part of reception, is very much designed for that onward kind of reflection, discussion, use into the start of year one to kind of think about provision and practice, whether you're running continuous provision or not. I mean, the groups of schools that I was working with yesterday, some are and some aren't, but we were really able to dig into that. So great. So it sounds like, obviously, from doing that research kind of this time last year to where you are now, it feels like you're kind of really pleased with kind of the choices that you've made, but most importantly, really pleased with the impact that it's had for your children, but also for your staff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a really good tool, as you say, for the impact it's had on the children's, you know, social and emotional development, mm-hmm. their learning. It's impacted our provision and our environment, and as you say, the understanding of the staff I feel has, you know, improved in terms of that data and knowing the whole child. It has been a really positive tool to use, and so much so we wanted to be part of, obviously, the pilot for nursery.
Yes, so of course.
Yeah, so we've taken that on. So we feel that actually now with nursery also using that tool, it is even more streamlined across EYFS and obviously moving up into Key Stage 1. So we feel like we've really honed that between, you know, the children's real first starting points when they come into our nursery to when they leave us into Key Stage 1. They have that really consistent journey, and staff have that consistent way of assessing children and using that data.
Yeah, and because actually the XNAT, the nursery assessment pilot tool, and the XREC assessment tools are running on a child development framework. So actually they kind of feed into one another, because that's what happens in terms of child development and the journey that the children are on. And the children might be going through that at their own pace. But again, it's that consistency of expectation, that consistency of language, that consistency of process, that consistency of discussions, that consistency of prompts that are being kind of put to the staff to be reflecting on. So I know obviously we're running the XNAT pilot, and we are hoping to, hopefully, I mean, everything so far is going really well in terms of the feedback for the nursery assessment tool. So we're kind of really looking at kind of obviously making some fine tunes to it in response to what the pilot raises. But we are hoping to bring that kind of to market in the spring term, which I think will be really exciting, whether schools are or aren't using the reception tool. I know there's a lot of appetite out there for something for nursery that again is principled and well thought through and holistic, and I think that in your instance has really strengthened the whole EYFS, and hopefully that can do that for other schools as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I guess, I mean, one of the things I would say to you is, and it's funny, isn't it? At the minute, I seem to be having a lot of people getting in touch and saying, oh, we'd like to know more about XREC. And I've signposted them to the podcast that we've got, and kind of saying, I'm happy to hop on a Teams call and talk to you in a little bit more detail. And there's a free webinar to explore it in more detail. But for you, as somebody who has lived and breathed it, I had somebody email yesterday to kind of say, what's the feedback been like about this tool then? What can you tell me about it? So I guess, if I said to you, Emma, if you were talking to somebody who was thinking about maybe investing in the tool, what would you say to them?
I suppose I'd say that if you wanted a toolkit that covers the whole holistic child in its approaches, if you want to upskill your staff around data management, target setting, if you want to impact your children in their interactions with adults, their teaching, the provision, all because it's extremely targeted, I think it has definitely impacted on our GLD in the process of what staff are now able to do with that data and how targeted it is. I think it's a really good tool. I don't think it's work heavy. I feel like the principles are right in terms of working with the children and playing with the children, and then really getting to know your children in the right way with those really early childhood development principles. It's an assessment tool that is real child development friendly, and it's had a big impact in our setting across the year in many, many different ways.
I feel like I might need to soundbite that bit out and kind of just play it to people who are asking me. Thank you. And again, from our point of view, it's, you know, we're really pleased again to hear that sort of feedback, because, you know, we did pilot all of the tools, and we worked hard to think about the principles and what we know is important to us, as well as that's important to effective early years practice. So it's always really nice having these conversations. You know, everyone, unfortunately enough, everyone I'm engaging with are saying very similar things, and that's, you know, really good for us to hear, because that's what we hoped it would do. We hoped it would be manageable and usable, and actually for the most part we wanted to keep it quite simple, but make sure that it had impact, and it sounds like it's done that. So thank you so much for talking about your journey and kind of the impact that it's had for your children. And we can't finish without me kind of saying you have a little bit of news to share as well. And as I started this podcast, I kind of said we're in July, but it will drop in August, and you said, obviously, you've been at Whitefield Primary for 7 years, but you are moving on with an exciting adventure, aren't you? So I've pulled the pin now, so I guess you have to share. But would you like to just share a little bit about what you're doing next? It's very exciting.
So I'm very excited that I've got a headship at Ellergreen Nursery School, which is maintained nursery school in Liverpool. There's not many nursery schools that are maintained in Liverpool, so it is a really good opportunity for me, and I'm really excited to get going with that. So I'll be really interested in when the nursery assessment tool comes out to use, hopefully there. Yeah, I think it will be really beneficial too. Yeah, so it's exciting. I'll be really sad to leave Whitefield because it's a fantastic school. It's a very special school to me. And it will be sad to leave, but I'm excited to start my new role also. And yeah, I'm excited to get going.
Wow. Well, congratulations, because I know over time you've kind of looked at headship and thought maybe, maybe not, but this one's come up and I know you felt like it was a really good fit. There was lots of things in it that you were really excited about, and actually good for you for applying and actually being successful. I'm really delighted for you. And I do know that you will miss Whitefield a lot, but you're not that far away. So I'm sure you will stay connected, won't you, with your kind of Whitefield family.
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to hearing about your onward journey, because actually, just thinking about it, I don't think we've had any podcasts with maintained nursery school head teachers. So I can feel all sorts of things coming on in terms of how that feels, or stepping into headship and all sorts of things. So, but I will give you some time to get settled first. That's only for... Bless you. Oh, well, as I say, thank you so much for your time. And because we are at this point of the year, I hope you have a lovely, lovely summer. Have a wonderful kind of rest of the term, last few days at your current school, and really very good luck in your new venture. I'm sure there'll be lots of success, and I look forward to hearing all about it.
Oh, thanks so much, Sarah. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks for joining us today. I hope you found it a valuable listen and that you've taken some things away to reflect on, or maybe things that you want to discuss with your colleagues. Of course, remember, if you want to talk about any of the issues that we've explored today, or you need support with other matters in your school, then do feel free to drop me an email, sarah@earlyexcellence.com, or why not get connected with me on LinkedIn or Twitter. Anyway, take care and join me next time for some more genuine head-to-head conversation.